From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Oh, hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my my ever-loving, ever-vampiric, ever-cape-wearing, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Hey, Bob, I thought you were going to say underwhelming at first. Underwhelming. But no,
I would never. I feel like I'm the underwhelming one, Count Panic, not you.
Coming from the Bob After Dark lair today,
I'm at the lair today.
You did something different.
A little stomach pains got me here tonight, but the show must go on.
Yeah, it looks like you did something a little different with the place. Is that Ouija board higher, it seems like?
No, this is stock.
Oh, I'm not going to ruin the imaginations of people, I guess, here, but it looks good.
No, this is my cave. This is how it always looks.
Mm-hmm. You have a name for it?
The Bob After Dark Studios.
Okay. I didn't know if you had like a fun name for it, but that's a fun name. That's all you need to know, Bob.
Thanks, Count Panic. Yeah. So if this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, we are your weekly-ish show where we talk about legends, lore, and supernatural things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite band he got to see at Riot Fest.
Riot Fest, Bob. Boy, oh boy. Man, a lot of great bands, and thanks again, Riot Fest, for having us out there. But, you know, Max,
we'll get to that.
I feel like Max Sabbath. I mean, I knew about Max Sabbath. They're a Black Sabbath tribute band that does covers of Black Sabbath, but they're dressed in kind of a metalish McDonald's character garb, like Ronald, the lead singer. You had I don't know how these guys play. Dressed as Grimace and Mayor McCheese and the Hamburglar, but you know, they're up there, they're wailing on their guitars, and they can't even see them, Bob, but they were just something to be seen live. I encourage people to go check them out if they come to your town.
Oh, that's amazing. So yeah, that is what we were going to move to next is Count Panic's weekend update. Count and I were not together last week. I was taking care of my mom post-surgery for her throat.
Yeah.
And we're still kind of not over that hump yet, but we're getting there.
Slowly but surely, Bob, for her.
Absolutely. And pretty jazzed to say that Riot Fest had us out with press badges.
How about that, Bob?
I unfortunately couldn't be there. So Count Panic, take it away. Tell us all about the Bob After Dark at Riot Fest experience.
Yeah, for the radio podcast, folks, I know there's some video footage out there, but for you guys right now, great. I got 2 out of 3 days. I went the Friday and the Sunday, but took the L, as they say, the old CTA system up there to Douglas Park. And boy, my first time at a Riot Fest, Bob. I've been to a couple Lollapaloozas in my younger days, but never a Riot Fest. It's the 20th anniversary. Was the 20th anniversary of Riot Fest. And they stacked the deck. You had a Blink 182, Green Day. Weird Al Yankovic was playing. He sounds like just as he did back in the 80s and 90s. Weezer and Jack White were there Saturday, I know. A lot of bands that I wanted to check out. Of course, Max Sabbath, Rilo Kiley, Sparks were out there. It's hard to believe those guys are like 80 years old now. But you know how this works, Bob. There's about 5 stages. And you move around, right? You got to go.
Right.
They give you a lineup, and sometimes the bands you want to see are conflicting against each other. You can't see them, but you got to make decisions in life, and these people were making tough decisions. And it was kind of a toasty weekend out there. It's still a little toasty as we're in fall here officially, but it's...
I was sweating today.
When we're filming this, it's going to be a toasty weekend, a toasty weekend as well coming up. But despite it all, you know, we were out there having a good time. Everybody was having a fun time. It seemed like Hanson from the 90s were out there. They brought out John Stamos from Full House fame, Uncle Jesse himself. up on the stage to sing Mbop. And I know Riot Fest had a kind of a thing going on over the years with John Stamos and Butter Stamos and whatnot. And he actually played on Saturday with the Beach Boys, who he's been drumming with for decades now. But so many bands, modern bands, new bands, old bands, different genres, pop, metal, hardcore, quirky, like Weird Al out there. He drew a huge crowd to his spot. And, you know, couldn't be a nicer atmosphere. They had carnival rides. They had pro wrestling, NWA, Billy Corgan's Smashing Pumpkins fame, now owning the NWA. I didn't see Billy walking around. We go way back. But, yeah, Bob, I just tell you, have you been to a Riot Fest before?
I have. It's been several years.
Yeah. Something, isn't it?
It's an otherworldly experience if you're into, like, the punk scene.
Punk music.
Or
yeah.
Just music in general, because they have, like, hip-hop artists and stuff,
too.
They
do, too. Bob. I mean, it's not just one genre. They kind of celebrate. I mean, where can you get Beach Boys playing with a band like Knocked Loose? I mean, there are not many festivals that could do that for you. But Riot Fest is there, and it's right in our backyard, right, Bob? Douglas Park.
Oh, yeah. Just Douglas Park right in our backyard.
A quick trip on the CTA, and you're there, but... You know, I encourage if you're into music and you like the lineup, check it out next year for their 21st edition. And it was an honor to be asked out there, Bob. And yeah, but you know what, though?
I don't know how people do
some of those 3 days. I mean, that's did you do the 3 days of it?
No, when I went, I only did two. But
it's tough.
If me and you get invited back again next year, we're going to go all 3 days. It's
Bob, you're gonna. Can you handle that, Bob, if that happens?
What are you trying to say? Just because I'm going to be 35 in a couple days doesn't mean anything.
Well, I can tell you, I'm 35 now, and I was feeling 35, I guess you could say.
3,500, maybe.
3,500. 35 in vampire years. But you know these people, some people you can tell are festival pros because they have these new things out now. I don't know if they're new things, but it's kind of like a little inflatable bed. It's like a little pouch you could lay in or sit in or lay in. And people had those out there. I was like, well, that's a great idea. Say you're tired of walking or you just want to sit plopped out and enjoy the music from different stages at multiple times. Just put that bad boy out there. So, Bob, we may need to raise some, we'll do a GoFundMe to raise these inflatable pouches for us to sit in.
But, something like that.
But great time. Have by all.
I'm glad. So, Riot Fest, thank you so much for having Bob After Dark out there. That's such a cool thing.
I didn't go into the mosh pit.
You did not get into one pit. I'm surprised at you.
Bob, I can't damage the space, Bob. I can't. If something happens, it's a liability. What if I get punched on accident? I know they wouldn't do it on purpose, but you never know. You might catch a fist in one of those mosh pits.
I've caught a fist in a couple pits in my day. Yes, I know how that could be.
Did you do the crowd surfing, Bob?
I have crowd surfed in my youth, yes. True story.
that's a crazy one, too.
Not these days.
Not to drop you, basically.
And I was a big boy, too, back then, but I did crowd surf back in the day.
And that's the thing. People usually, they want to protect the person that's crowd surfing. They're not going to drop you again on accident, but or on purpose, I should say. But, you know, you take a risk. You never know. Someone's hands could slip, and boom, next moment, you're on the ground. But luckily, that didn't happen. I know. Yeah, all in all, A++ time, Bob.
I would say so, Count Panic. There is lots of events coming up in October. The best place I could tell you to check is on Facebook, facebook.com/BobAfterDark. We have all of our events listed in October there, and there are a lot.
There's a lot, Bob.
There's a lot.
There's a lot going on. And this is officially, as we record this, it's October Eve.
It's October Eve. Wake Billy Armstrong up because September has ended.
Yeah, he's up as of midnight today, but tonight. But yeah, so where are we at with the veil here? Are we? October 1st is tomorrow. Where's the veil at?
The veil is slowly baking in the oven as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, it could just bake outside.
It's
gonna
get that crispy layer. When you bite into it, it crumbles. That's how thin it'll be.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty close here, but you know, this is the time. October 1st tomorrow, go crazy with your decorations, right? I mean, it's gonna be summer like do you find it hard, Bob, to kind of get into this? I know you're always in the spirit, but sometimes
I'm in the spirit of things,
but when
right
it's like
now.
When it's like, you know, 90 degrees outside and you're trying to wear your best flannel and go apple picking.
It can wait. I'm good. I'm still excited about it.
Will you put your flannel on in 90 degree heat though? Your hoodie.
What's that?
Will you put your flannel or hoodie on while you're, you know, it's fall, but it's like 90 degrees. Will you still do that?
No.
No.
I'll just wear a t-shirt.
A lot of people.
The flannel will come.
Okay. A lot of people really want to get
into it. Spooky season is
upon us. Yeah. It's going to happen, folks. Give it a couple weeks or so. But yeah, October 1st.
All right. So let's move on how Bob After Dark works as we split the show up into two parts. The first part of the show is the weird spooky news of the week. That's where you, the Bobs, and me, the fans. Where you, the fans, and me, the Bob, go scouring the internet for the weird, the unusual, and the creepy and the mysterious in news. Anything from weird cursed objects to advances in science that borderline on science fiction and everything in between. It is a slow week in the paranormal news, so thank you, Coast to Coast AM. But they threw for giving us our news articles this week because we got all three from Coast to Coast.
How about that?
But check it. Tim Benal didn't write all of them.
Really? Wow. So you're doing three Coast to Coast stories, but not one from Tim. Maybe he's on vacation.
Maybe he is on vacation. No, because here's the other two are Tim Benal, but the first one is not.
All right.
First one is by Alec Fernandez.
Alec Fernandez.
Yes. So Cursed Stolen Brick returns to North Old Church. Someone returned a piece of Boston's historic Old North Church. And the church has since folks, let me restart this over. I'm having some technical difficulties. Start over. I'm ready. Someone returned a piece of Boston's historic Old North Church with an ominous note, and the church has since had its own problems. Staff believe that the cursed brick was stolen in a 2023 renovation project, only to mysteriously reappear in March inside an anonymous package from San Jose, California. The item arrived with a haunting message. My husband took this from the crypt. We have had a string of bad luck and we want to return the brick. Intrigued and a bit spooked, the staff placed it in a glass inside the famous crypt, which now contains over 1,100 parishioners and several Revolutionary War figures. Since the stone's return, there have been a couple of unexplained electrical outages, leading to some wonder if the brick is really bad luck. Labeled as the cursed brick, it remains on display for visitors to see. Lisa Griffith from Atlanta, Georgia, asked the questions on almost everyone's mind. Why did he take the brick, and what was the bad luck? The church's website calls it a lesson in karma, stating, "We hope that the brick is entertaining to our visitors and acts as a warning to all those shoplifters. Think twice before you steal from our crypt." Hashtag panic state.
Yeah, you know, Bob, I agree with them there. Don't be stealing, right? Stealing is wrong. Two, if you're going to steal, don't steal a cursed brick. That's just asking bad upon you. And obviously they got cursed enough where they're like, well, let's return this thing. And hopefully that's all for it. But yeah, Bob, think twice. One before you steal, one before you steal a spooky haunted object.
Absolutely. And I'm right there with you. Probably not steal from a crypt.
No.
Not a smart idea.
No, you're just asking for bad things to happen.
You never know what you're going to be bringing home from that. All right, next story comes to us from Tim Benal over at Coast to Coast.
Oh, so we got a Tim one.
Yes, we do. We have two Tims, one Alec.
Oh, okay. Well, good for Tim.
All right, so a devoted Loch Ness webcam watcher cannot believe his eyes when he recently spotted a rather sizable anomaly, which he estimated to be a whopping 17 feet long, emerged from the waters of the iconic Scottish location. The remarkable sighting, seen above, was reportedly captured by the virtual monster hunter Elon O'Fahagan. Fahodhagen.
Wow, that's a long one.
It's E-O-I-N-O apostrophe F-A-O-D-A-H-A-G-A-I-N.
Imagine fitting that into a signature.
It's rough, but, and I apologize, I know I butchered your name, buddy, but I tried.
It happens.
On the evening of September 23rd, I saw a large creature, brown, black, and color, he recalled, just breaking the surface, creating a strange circular movement. Despite having captured dozens of possible Nessie sightings while watching various webcam stations from around the state, this particular incident took the season viewer by surprise. I was puzzled, wondering what was the spectacle that was unfolding in front of my eyes in the surface still lock. The virtual monster hunter marveled. I had never seen movement like this before. It was very strange and fascinating. Estimating that the creature had appeared on a live stream and was staggering 17 feet long, 5 feet wide, the gentleman posited that it was one of the Nessie family because there is no known animal in Loch Ness to grow such considerable size. While the webcam watcher was understandably wowed by the weird sight, skeptical observers will undoubtedly argue that the monster was merely a prosaic moment that looked unusual due to the manner of what was seen. Hashtag panic stake.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big proponent of a Nessie over there. Why not? I think it's the old gal trying to be seen. And who am I to say that you don't have Nessie on camera footage there? So, Bob, going with true. Nessie wants to be seen.
I'm going with a Nessie sighting. Yeah. 100%.
Nessie.
Yeah.
Been a while.
Yeah, I'm going with it. Why not?
Why not?
We Mothman sighting not that long ago. It's time for Nessie to get seen.
We're pro Nessie here.
Absolutely. All right, you ready for our last news article?
Yeah.
All right, one last one from Tim Benall, Coast to Coast AM. Badly injured British woman laments ignoring psychic's eerily accurate warning. A British woman badly injured in an accident believes that her mishap was predicted by a psychic who was issued an eerily accurate warning to her months earlier. Her spooky story reportedly began in April 2024 when Hannah Roper visited a fortune teller in hopes of discovering what her future had in store for her. During the session, a soothsayer shared a weird warning, cautioning the woman against venturing to the town of Fenton, and as she did, to be mindful of her drinking. The specificity of the advice was enough to convince Roper to heed the fortune teller's words for 6 months until, on the fateful day, she slipped up and tragedy struck. Either because she had forgotten the warning or believed that the window of danger had passed, in October of last year, Roper found herself splitting a bottle of wine with a friend at dinner and then traveling home on another acquaintance who just so happened to be living in the town of Fenton. After a few more drinks at her friend's house, she went to go use the restroom, but mistakenly passed through the cellar door instead, and the error proved costly as Roper swiftly tumbled down the stairs and suffered brain bleeding from her treacherous fall. The accident necessitated months of rehabilitation that included part of her skull being replaced with a metal plate. Looking back on her harrowing experience, Roper is certain that the psychic foresaw what unfolded in Fenton that unfortunate day and understandably wishes that she would have stuck to avoiding the town where things went horribly wrong. I didn't go for months and then this happened, she mused, insisting the psychic prediction was psychic predicted by accident. Hashtag panic stake.
Yeah, psychics, you never know, Bob. You can't, you know, they're a tricky lot, right? Because some do have a special gift, some are just yanking our chain, but it seems like this one to this woman sadly was accurate, but you just never know what you're going to get with a psychic. Am I correct on this spot?
Yeah, 100%,
man.
I don't
know what you're going to get.
All right. Count Panic, you ready to take your quick break?
Sure.
R2I Live fans, stick around. We'll be right back. And to our podcast fans, you're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
And we're back. Oh, hey there, Count
Panic. Oh, hey, Bob. Yeah.
What'd you do during break?
Well, Bob, during that, I got on the phone with Nessie, and Nessie did confirm that was her. That was her on camera. So, Nessie, again, called again live to Bob After Dark. Sorry, Bob, I couldn't get her on. It was only during that short break there I was able to talk with her. But she's a big fan of the show, Bob. Big fan of you.
Big fan of me, huh?
Yeah, that's big exciting. Pro Bob fan there. But what did you do, Bob?
You know, I took up popcorn making. Oh. And
by the way, before you do that, I'm sorry. I hung up on a caller, I think. But go ahead, Bob.
Oh, caller, call back. 219-845-1100.
Well, you know, should I just try this live before you tell us? Because it looks a little different.
Yeah, try it.
All right, let's see if we got this person on the line here. Hello?
Hello?
I think we got it, Bob. Can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear. Hello? Caller, can you hear me?
Hello?
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 Hello? How about now?
No, I can't hear you that good.
Wait, can you hear us a little bit?
Yeah, I can hear you a little bit.
I guess the phone lines are not turned.
What's going on over there?
Nothing much. What's up, John?
Can you hear me?
Bob, you gotta speak a little louder, Bob.
Yeah, John, can you hear me?
No, not that good. Really, real faint.
How about...
Try to call back. Bad signal.
I don't know.
You want to call back?
Go ahead and try it there.
Yeah, just give it a try. Call back.
All right.
You're taking a popcorn making, Bob.
I took a popcorn making, competitive popcorn making.
How's that working out for you?
Number 2NA right now.
Okay, well, good. There you go. Well, that happens, you know. But
we're waiting on the caller to call back right
now.
Yeah,
we're going to try it again here. You know, it's live radio at its finest sometimes, and let's see if this can work out. So let me put them down there. Okay, they can't hear us just yet, but how about now? Hello.
Oh, that's loud and clear.
Oh, Bob, see, we got it this time.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, you know it's me.
Yeah, John, how are you?
Hey, you know what? I might have even been on my end. Maybe I didn't even have you on speakerphone. That's why I couldn't hear you.
Maybe.
I don't know. Because you guys are always on the ball. I mean, you always come in loud and clear. But how you been doing, Bob?
Oh, not too bad, John. How about yourself?
Not bad at all. How's Mom doing?
Mom is still recovering from throat surgery, but thank you for asking.
Yeah, well, tell her, she's in my thoughts and prayers. So hopefully
she can hear you, John. She listens every week.
Well, that's good. Now, you know what? I'm a little amused at that brick story. So the brick was stolen from a church, you say?
Yes, from a church's renovation project in their crypt.
Was it a Catholic church or another denomination?
It sounded like it was a Catholic church, yeah.
So the church had no knowledge that this brick was...
No, because it sounds like it was taken during a renovation project when a bunch of bricks were removed. And this person probably...
What I'm kind of chuckling about is, the person that takes the brick, okay, finds out it's haunted, so, could have done anything with the brick, but returns the brick back. And instead of the church asking, what did you experience having the brick or, asking some kind of questions, they tell you what, hey, don't be stealing our bricks anymore. That's good. In other words, good for you. Next time, don't think twice before you steal a brick. You know what I mean? I mean, I would ask questions. I would have a little sympathy maybe and say, hey, don't steal our bricks, but what happened maybe? What did you experience with the brick? So maybe we could have some idea. We could, investigate it any further. Makes sense or no?
Makes sense to me. How about you,
yeah.
Count?
Yeah, I think it makes perfect sense. You want to be a little, it is questionable. You want to know what happened there.
Yeah, instead of saying, hey, don't steal my bricks anymore, yeah. Have a nice day,
Yeah.
But I don't know, Bob. Anyway, you know what? I'm getting fired up for Wickedly Whiting. I know you said you weren't going to be there, right?
I will not be. No, I'm going to be at a wedding, but you will be at the Sometimes Scaring is Caring Festival on the 18th.
Where is this at now?
That's the Club Cuyahoga.
Club Cuyahoga event.
Oh, definitely. Doggone, I'll be the first one in line. Me and my, I'll probably try to get my brother out there, too.
The Wicked, so, the two things, one, Wickedly Whiting, I there might be a chance, 50-50 shot, Mr. Pierogi might be out there a little bit early Saturday. We don't know for sure, may happen, but Bob, that's right down the road from you. That's always a great time at Wickedly. But
well,
yeah,
geez, you know, if Mr. Pierogi's going to be out there, how much can I take, you know?
Well, there's a 50-50 shot. We're going to see what happens. But
you know, Bob, the cold ones are going to be flowing, man. It's going to be 90 degrees out there Saturday.
That's what I hear, and I'm going to be in a suit and tie for a wedding, so I'll be baking.
Well, you know, like you say, when there's nothing to do, there's, you know, you're always looking for something to do, so two things at one time. But, hey, I play it safe and go to the wedding, you know, because, you know, even if it's not yours, you don't want no trouble, right?
Yeah, no, it's not my wedding, so.
Is it a spooky wedding, Bob?
It is not a spooky wedding, oh, okay. No.
Yeah, hey, I never thought about that, somebody having a, you know,
October
spooky style of wedding, but, but yeah, I'm definitely going to be out there, Bob, and maybe, I'm sure Bill's going to be out there, too. Hopefully he's listening and call in, but you could give him a reminder of that, too.
We're going to, we might have to plug it right now, Bob.
Yeah, sounds good. Give it a good plug. So I'll be listening the rest of the show. So have a good evening, Bob.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you, too.
John, right
All
there.
All right. Yeah. So, by the way, let's plug that real quick. Yeah. The Sometimes Scaring is Caring Festival, October 18th at Club Cuyahoga in East Chicago, Indiana. It's $5 a ticket, hosted by Count Panic.
Yeah, I'll be out there in full force with the cape at Club Cuyahoga. We... you know, they were nice enough to invite Bob, myself, Steve, and Steve Michaels, and Pete Rice there.
Steve Michaels will not be there, neither will Pete Rice.
No, but a few months back, though, they invited us out there to
an
investigation, and it was a good time. Art had us along, and we're doing this benefit now for charity. Only five ducks. You can bring five ducks with you, Bob. What do people buy five ducks?
Five ducks.
Will you accept five ducks as a payment?
What am I going to do with five ducks?
Ducks for charity. But
what am I going to do with one duck, let alone five ducks?
$5, not the deer type, but the $5 bills, goes to a great cause. And what do you get with that, Bob? You get to sit in the back, relax, and enjoy three podcasts there.
Yeah, it's going to be the Bob After Dark Show, which obviously you're listening to now, channeling Chavez, and our wonderful guest, Ghostly Podcast, is coming out as well.
They were at Riot Fest, too. I spoke to them.
Yep. It's going to be a good time. And Pat and Rebecca are actually going to be on our show next week.
That was the tease at Riot Fest as well. They're going to be on the show October.
Next week.
Next week, kicking off kind of October there. But this should be a great event. Again, it's for anybody. Come out, have a beverage, support Club Cuyahoga. Proceeds, of course, for $5 entries. Go to charity there.
But yeah, go to Extra Life. Extra Life. Pretty jazzed about that.
Yeah, so we'll keep reminding folks about that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. All right. So Count Panic, we have a we have a kickoff episode this week.
Kickoff.
So all throughout the month of October, we're going to be looking at paranormal researchers, not investigators of a paranormal. Well, I guess you can investigate if you're a researcher too, but we're going to be looking at researchers and investigators this month and learning their stories. And the first one is an enigma because all of the information about this gentleman has been lost to the internet.
Really? All of it?
Not all of it, but there is a lot of it.
Okay.
So we're talking about this week, John Eric Beckyard. That's John Eric, JonEricBeckyard. So John Eric was actually on the Tonight Show and the Late Night Show.
Really? Okay.
With David Letterman. Yeah. So he's been on both as a cryptozoologist. So as far as paranormal interviews on stuff, kind of made it big in that regard.
Yeah, but, I would say so. John, they got TV shows like that.
Yeah, John was born in April 26, 1939, and passed away June 22, 2008. Was an American paranormal investigator, photographer, cryptozoologist, interested in UFOs, crop circles, the Loch Ness Monster, and Bigfoot. Throughout his life, he owned three separate small-scale museums that feature displays, mostly photographs of alleged UFO, Nessie, and Bigfoot sightings. He made guest appearances on national radio and television shows, but was criticized by skeptics and fellow cryptozoologists alike for not providing substantial evidence to back up claims of his existence of paranormal beings. Born Cedric John Beckjord, and it's not Beckjord, it's Yord, Beckjord, B-E-C-K-J-O-R-D, in Duluth, Minnesota. He was the son of Colonel Philip Beckjord, a World War II Army physician, and Margaret. He had three siblings, Ross, Peter, and Pam. His family came from Oslo, Norway. Beckjord attended the United Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, Colorado for 2 years. He studied sociology at Tulane University, where he graduated with a Bachelor of Science in 1961. He studied law for 1 year at Bullitt Hall and University of California, Berkeley, and he later graduated with an MBA from UC Berkeley in 1966. After graduation, Beckjord became a city planner for the Bay Area area, but wearied of a traditional job and decided to go hunt for Bigfoot instead. "I don't know what most MBAs do," he said. "Most people in my class are bored to death or dead. The object in life is not simply to make money." Rather, he believed the most important task was to find out why we're here on Earth. Beckjord collected photographs, castings, and memorabilia that to him represented evidence of UFOs and alien life, the Loch Ness Monster, as well as Bigfoot. He appeared on several national radio and television shows, including Coast to Coast AM, yep, which big deal for that in our field. The Tonight Show and Late Night with David Letterman. In reference to his explorations, Beckjord compared himself to Galileo, Louis Pasteur, and the Wright brothers. In 1983, Eric Dunn, the director of the Cryptozoological Society, spent a week in Scotland taping what he believed were three Loch Ness monsters in Loch Ness. Three. Yeah. In February 1989, Beckjord opened the Cryptozoology Museum housed in the corner of Transis Restaurant in Malibu, California. The museum had its start on October 31st, 1986, when he opened his home for visitors to see his collection. The display primarily consisted of photographs from Eric's research into phenomena like the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, and the Mokele Manambi of Africa. According to Beckjord, the museum focused on creatures of fact or fancy that, to the best of our knowledge, appear to be verified or yet haven't been debunked. When the Trancas restaurant went out of business, Beckjord put the museum's contents in storage. Most were lost in a fire in 1993. On October 31st, 1996, Halloween, Beckjord opened the Bigfoot UFO and Loch Ness Monster Museum in San Francisco, California.
Wow.
Which featured crop circles. Are you there, Count?
Yeah. I mean, this is a heck of a museum, Bob. All three of those.
Well, I mean, they keep closing.
Well, but it sounds like a great idea. And I mean, that's right up. We would go there.
I would go there in a heartbeat. Beckjord opened the Bigfoot UFO Loch Ness Monster Museum in San Francisco, California, which featured crop circles. He charged a nominal entrance fee, $3 for adults, $2 for children, but the museum's closing reportedly was due to the lack of any substantial evidence. After this museum closed, Beckjord repaired electrical appliances for a company called Captain Neon. In 1997, Beckjord opened his third museum in North Beach, California, which he called the Bigfoot and Loch Ness Monster Museum. It was billed as the city's strangest museum and consisted of photographs, drawings, and articles devoted to such topics as the Roswell Declaration, Bigfoot, and a sea serpent named Sassy, which allegedly lived in San Francisco Bay. Beckyard defined cryptozoology as the search for mysterious creatures. He searches for hidden animals that could theoretically exist in nature, and hidden critters that look like animals but resisted capture. The Loch Ness Monster, Sasquatch, and the Coaxacoastal Big Bird. Beckyard became intrigued with the idea of Bigfoot after seeing an article in the newspaper about alleged sightings of the creature. On an expedition to find evidence, he claimed he saw a Bigfoot cross the road in front of him about 200 feet away. He was convinced of its existence, even as he failed to photograph the Bigfoot. He purportedly saw Bigfoot standing 6 foot tall, walking in a loose limbo dance style, and at another time eating apricots in an orchard around Vacaville, California. He frequented the camp with other researchers in an alleged window site in Bear River Reservoir area of El Dorado National Forest, where he asserted that evidence of Bigfoot was almost routinely seen. While he insisted that the exact location not be revealed to the public, Beckyard did agree to take skeptic Robert Sheffer on a 5-day expedition there in 1999. It was only after Sheffer left the site, had nothing seen unusual, that Beckyard reported manifestations of Bigfoot. Beckyard said he heard Bigfoot's voice tell him, "We're not what you think we are. We're here, but we're not real like what you think is real." Along with the photographs of leaves and shadows, Beckyard believed that he showed images of Bigfoot. He also reported having seen Bigfoot footprints that turned into deer tracks, confirming for him that the creature had the ability to shift its shape. He theorized that Bigfoot creatures share a time-space origin and connections with UFOs that come from an alternate universe by a wormhole. Weird stuff, huh?
That could be, you know what, he might be on to something here. A wormhole? That sounds like it could be a thing, but, you know, can't blame him for trying to prove it.
Beckyard explained away the need for physical evidence such as hair, blood, and bones to preserve the existence of Bigfoot, arguing that the creature is an interdimensional shapeshifter that can warp it out of physical reality. He theorized that he may be the product of tulpas, or thought of forms created by people or other entities. In an editorial for the Journal of Current Anthropology, Beckyard argued that the study of the wild man Sasquatch was the proper study of parapsychologists to search for extraterrestrial and scientists, not anthropologists. On the Loch Ness Monster, to Beckyard, the Loch Ness Monster Nessie was a space alien pet left on Earth in form of energy that can interact with human beings. He described Nessie as a cat-faced creature, 15 to 30 feet long, 7 to 10 feet thick body that looks like a cross between Halley's Comet and a Concorde jet. He claimed to have videotaped 3, which he named Faith, Hope, and Charity, on a visit to Dermanock, Scotland in 1983. Beckyard admitted that the images might not have been exactly and positively Nessie, but asserted that 90% of the people who viewed the films believed that the images were alive.
Pretty high percentage.
Yeah, he had a theory about our boy the Loveland Frog too. Yeah, Beckyard speculated that the Loveland Frog might have been a 10-foot bipedal dinosaur known as the Clothiophysis, Clothiophysis.
Could be right.
He also had a theory about mermaids.
What about mermaids now?
Okay. So in a response to a Roy Wagner article published in the ISC annual journal Cryptozoology, later reprinted as Fate magazine, August 1983, Becker traveled to Papua New Guinea for a search of Ree, or mermaids. Wagner's article described eyewitness accounts and sometimes daily sightings of air-breathing mammal with trunk and with the trunk, genitalia, and arms of a head in a human being, but the legless lower trunk terminating a pair of lateral fins or flippers. After his own investigation to determine the locals were killing, butchering, and eating dugongs and not mermaids, Beckyard concluded that no unknown animal was being seen in that area. So he didn't find mermaids, guys.
No mermaids confirmed.
No.
But three nests.
Beckyard was a UFOologist, too. He believed in space alien visitations to Earth, crop circles, and creatures, forces that sculpted rock, lava, and sand on Mars to resemble people on Earth, like Ted Kennedy, Tammy Faye Backer, and others. He tried to sell his Kennedy on Mars photos, which Beckyard discovered while analyzing NASA's satellite photos on the planet, to raise money to investigate crop circles in England. Beckyard took the images of what he described as three blobs of light, UFO witnesses, two instances of unexplained light over Malibu and the Septa Vila Pass, respectively. Beckyard believed in a government cover-up of UFOs and extraterrestrial intelligence, and advocating making information available to the general public. A lot of weirdness is right under our noses. We may belong to aliens. We may be extraterrestrial animals, but I can't prove it. Criticism. Beard's firm believed that Bigfoot and similar entities were interdimensional shapeshifters who can manipulate the light spectrum so that people can't see them. Brought him to not into conflict not only with skeptics but other Bigfoot researchers as well, who argued for proof of physical remains. He had what described as a well popular publicized arguments with writers of Skeptical Inquirer and certain members of International Society of Cryptozoology, and was considered a person non grata among conventional Bigfoot researchers.
Really?
He would literally fight for his beliefs with his fists and was banned from contributing to online forums because of postings that were allegedly abusive.
Can't do that part, I guess. Seems feisty.
Yeah, this guy's feisty, all right. Robert Schaefer, founding member of the Committee for Scientific Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal, asserted that Beckyard doesn't have one bit of proof to ally Beckyard's proclamations that all skeptics were too timid and closed-minded to actually go out into the woods and confront Bigfoot evidence for themselves. Schaefer accompanied Beckyard on a 5-day Bigfoot expedition in 1999. He was disappointed with Beckyard's continued lack of evidence and attributed Beckyard's interpretations of rock formations, leaves, and shadows as Bigfoot faces or skulls to the workings of an overzealous imagination. CNN correspondent Rusty Doman wrote in 1997, "Faces on Mars, the Loch Ness Monster, or alien with the name tag Andy, is as far-fetched and unproved. Beckyard buys it, and it's on display in his storefront museum." Beckyard maintained that with card-carrying skeptics, we will never win. The more people have seen UFOs and have voted, more people have seen UFOs than have voted for President Clinton. After battling prostate cancer, Beckyard died at age 69 on June 22, 2008, near his home in Lafayette, California, where he was a caretaker for Crosses of Lafayette, a monument to casualties in the Iraq War before his death. And that, everybody, is the story of John Eric Beckyard.
Yeah, wow. It sounds like, Bob, this guy had his hand in a little bit of every cryptid out there. I mean, even though he didn't have full-on proof, he didn't stop trying to learn about all these cryptids. Bigfoot, Nessie, UFOs, everything, Bob.
Right.
But the problem was he tried to fight people. That's where I think he lost a lot of people. You know, he fights about his research. But hey, maybe that's just a passion, Bob. Maybe if you're, if you want to back up your evidence and nobody believes you, the next best thing is to bop them in the face. I don't know.
We don't condone violence here,
of course.
We don't condone violence here, no. But that's some interesting stuff about Beckyard. He's an interesting paranormal investigator that, unfortunately, a lot of his research that he put on his own website is gone and lost to the world.
Yeah, so how about his appearances? Can you find that on YouTube or anything like that?
I did watch. There is a couple of YouTube clips. I watched the David Letterman interview, and David Letterman didn't treat him very fairly, in my opinion.
Before you continue that, Bob, let's see if we get this going here. Hey, caller.
Hello, how are you doing, Count and Bob?
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Hey, Bill.
I'm doing fine. You know, an interesting, show tonight. But I just want to let you know there's no bricks missing at Saints Stand.
Saints Stand, yes.
I mean, that checked out.
I don't know, interesting, Bill.
Well, you might be right. Well, no, I mean, I've walked around the place, but... I don't think I'd, take a brick like that out of, it seems to, maybe I shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, one, it's wrong, even if you just find it laying around, but two, it could be haunted, and you don't want that in your life.
Oh, no, I don't want that. And then, you were talking about the hotness, Hessian, that,
yeah.
There's got to be, something down there. I mean, they've taken, I don't know if England or us, but I've taken submarines, and they said the sonar would be, going off the chart, and then yet they don't see anything.
How do you explain that, Bob? I mean,
that's a good question.
Well, this guy seemed to have some answers, but a lot of people didn't believe him.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so... Well, Bob, I hope your mom's, doing okay.
She's singing in there, Bill, and we'll be seeing you on the 18th as well, correct?
Yeah, stop on by, Bill. Club Cuyahoga, come on by.
Oh, yeah, well, that was my old stomping grounds.
There you go.
I used to umpire, not a vampire, an umpire. I'm going to get that shit. I'll try and make it down, so. But other than that, well, you guys have a good evening, and... God bless you both, and hopefully I'll see you on the 18th.
Yeah, you too, Bill.
Sounds good, Bill. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
Take care.
All right, bye.
All right, Bill, right there of that. But before, we were talking about the Letterman appearance, but I'll have to find it if it's still up there. Letterman, known for being kind of snarky. He was kind of snarky to our friend here.
Yeah, he was a bit snarky in his interview. He treated him very poorly, even calling him by his wrong name multiple times, I think for laughs.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, especially back then, I assume that was what, late or 80s, or you said maybe 80s there or early 90s. Especially then, I don't think paranormal investing got the respect it probably gets these days, would you say? It was kind of looked at as kind of like a kooky thing.
You were the Warrens. I mean, there was always the Hans Holzers in the world that were always working on paranormal stuff, too.
I think a lot more people do it nowadays, and it's much more respected. So you wouldn't get that reception if you go on a show. You get more, questions and maybe possibly answers. But they come a long way, Bob. They come a long way.
Absolutely. So do you have any closing words for our audience this evening, Count Panic?
Yes. Everybody enjoy the rest of what's left of your, if you're listening to this live, your September 30th, the last day of September. Tomorrow, a lot of people kick into the whole spookiness full on for the whole month of October, and a lot of action on the way. So everybody enjoy, listen, if you're a fan of this summer weather, keep on enjoying it. If you're a fan of fall weather, you're probably going to get it soon enough. Just we live in the Midwest. If you don't like the weather, just give it a few hours. There you
absolutely
go.
And I was told to tell you to be a spooky pierogi at Wickedly White.
Yeah, well, not me, but the guy I know.
The guy. Tell him to be a spooky pierogi.
I think he's going to, again, Bob, 50-50, and if he does do it, I think it'll be early on the fest for a few hours on Saturday. It goes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. in downtown Whiting there. this Saturday. But I'm sure he'll get into a little bit of garb there, Bob, and make himself known as a spooky presence, because it's Wickedly Whiting and it's the Halloween season, Bob, in full swing officially.
Sounds good. All right, folks, thank you so much for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of me and Count Panic, we just want to say goodnight to all of you, including my mother. We want to wish you sweet dreams. Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody, and remember the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are: not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.